This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
As we finished our previous installment of looking at anger and the expat cross-cultural Christian worker, I said that this time we would wrap up this mini-series with a look at the question, how can we change the people who make us angry? Okay, we'll do that. We'll look at that. But first, let's quickly look back at what we've thought about during the last three programs on this subject of anger and bring ourselves up to date and kind of wrap things together. First, we looked at Jonah as an example of a cross-cultural worker who was sent on a special assignment. Remember Jonah? Well, most of us only remember part of Jonah's story. We remember that God gave him an assignment, which he didn't like, so he ran away to sea. God got his attention again with a big storm, and then he was thrown overboard, and he had the distinction of being the first person to take a trip in a submarine. What we often forget is how successful his overseas cross-cultural assignment was. At the big city where he was sent, thousands of people repented and turned to God. But instead of being happy and writing great letters back to his supporters, Jonah became angry. He wanted all the people in the city destroyed. Now, of course, there was a cultural and historical reason for his feelings. Jonah got angry. So Jonah was mad at God for not destroying these people. His anger at the city then turned to hatred. And then he was angry because the vine that gave him shelter died and left him sitting in the hot sun. All this brought us to the question, is it a sin to be angry? Well, as we saw in the Bible, there were times when even Jesus was angry, but there were also times when Jesus warned his disciples about anger. There were many examples and references to anger in the Bible, but in general, they can be summarized like this. Anger is one of those things that may be sinful at some times, but not at others, so we must be very careful of the danger of falling into sin when we become angry. As I said, this is just a quick summary of some of the points that we've looked at in the past three programs. Ron Kotesky has written a brochure on this subject, and actually most of the things we have looked at are covered in that brochure. You can look it over and read it at your own pace and convenience. Now, maybe you don't consider that you actually get angry. You're a pretty calm person generally, pretty laid back, but once in a while, you get a little upset at some situations. And of course, there is always a good reason for that feeling, isn't there? Well, before you feel too good about that, being upset very often is really just a form of anger. None of us can really escape completely from feeling angry or experiencing anger. Anger hits us all in some form, more often perhaps for some of us than others, but it does hit us. None of us can escape it completely. Why does this happen? Well, that was another question we looked at, and Ron had some suggestions, just some of the possible reasons for why we or you might get angry. Genetics was one suggestion. Some people are born with a predisposition to become angry. Their emotions are wired in a certain way that makes it easier for them to become angry. Sounds like a convenient excuse, doesn't it? You know, next time you blow up, you say, by way of explanation, I was born this way. I can't help becoming angry. This is just the way I am. No, it's not really a valid excuse because there are some things that we can do about anger. Some people learn to become angry. They might have had examples of that from members of their family or a friend, or as a child they got angry when they didn't get something they wanted. And they discovered that as a result of their outburst, they got their own way. So they learned from experience that becoming angry brought results and brought things they wanted. In a connected form, some people use anger to control others. Now, maybe you've had a boss like that. Anger becomes a tool that makes other people do what they want. It makes it possible for them to manipulate other people. So anger becomes a tool that is used for control. Some people get angry because of frustration, and that frustration can happen anywhere, in a store, in traffic, with some other team member, or someone in your family. And that frustration, for some people, can expand into anger. Ron Kotesky listed five possible reasons why people might get angry? Genetics, learning, control, frustration, and injustice. And the list of reasons for something that might trigger your anger can be expanded from there. Last week, we looked at some of the ways of handling anger. For example, there are those who say you must suppress your anger at all costs, control it. But then there is the problem of people who spend their time controlling and holding their anger in, suppressing it, who may go from there to bitterness and a bitterness that becomes chronic. Now, I've met people like that, and you probably have too. Another view about anger is the thought that it's not healthy to control your anger, so you should let it out, express it. Well, maybe, maybe not. There are problems with that approach too, which I'm sure you can imagine. Ron suggests that a balanced approach is best, a controlled expression, without bitterness or rage. And he used the story of Phinehas as an example, you know, from Joshua chapter 22. Read that story over again and notice what happened. Briefly, the principles found there fit with the English vowels A, E, I, O, and U. A, affirm the Almighty. Pleasing God is something both sides had in common. And when we're in an angry situation, it's something we should think about. Are we pleasing God with this emotional outburst? E, explain your thinking. Make sure that everyone on each side of the situation understands what you're both thinking. I, well, that stands for I messages. In other words, the first person. When you discuss your situation, use words like I, we, us, and our, not the pounding and accusing sounds of you, you, you. Okay? O is the next letter, open to being the offender. In other words, keep your mind open to the fact that it's possible that you're the one who might be wrong in this situation. Well, at least partly. U, unity before unanimity. In this story of Phinehas and Joshua, they didn't push for the opposition to agree with them and how right and noble they were, what they did. Their first aim was to get back into fellowship and friendship with each other. All right, now that brings us back to that last question we were going to look at. Is there any way of changing the people who make us angry? The simple answer, no. You cannot change anyone else, but you can change yourself. The anger is yours, and only you can determine how you will react to what other people do. Your anger can serve you, or it can destroy you. Anger, like other emotions, involves your mind, your body, your spirit, and your behavior. The first one was your mind. What does that mean? Well, maybe you need to change how you look at things. Maybe you need to change how you perceive them. Maybe you need to change how you come to conclusions. For example, instead of blaming the other person, take a closer look at your own reactions. Were they appropriate? Maybe instead of thinking how bad that other person is who has aroused your emotions, and maybe even raised your blood pressure a little, take a moment to think about how his or her day might be going. Maybe they've had a rough day. Maybe there was a good reason for what happened. Even though things didn't turn out right, maybe there really isn't any reason for you to be angry. Your body was the second point. Maybe it would be a good idea to learn some relaxation techniques that will help your body to become calm or a little more at peace in those situations. For example, pause. Take a few slow, deep breaths, and then intentionally relax the muscles which you feel are tensing throughout your body. Next is your spirit. Now, of course, as expats, as cross-cultural workers involved in Christian work, you would know that practices such as prayer and scripture reading and meditation on your scripture reading are spiritually uplifting. And in the long run, they are helpful in diffusing and cooling down emotions of anger. And finally, your behavior. Something you could do is learn some new habits and skills to help you respond in an anger-producing situation. It may sound simple, but how about this? Instead of raising your voice, silently count to 10 or 20 or whatever it takes before you share your thoughts and reactions with others. Instead of sulking or pouting or feeling angry or bitter or slamming doors or breaking something, get some other physical exercise by taking a walk or going jogging. It's amazing what a little fresh air and change of scenery can do for you. And when a situation comes up, instead of jumping into an argument, distract yourself. Involve yourself in some enjoyable distraction for a while. Now, that could be a hobby or a game or something like that. Now, back to our friend Jonah. We don't know if Jonah ever resolved his anger, but we do know that we don't have to leave our anger unresolved and become bitter as he did. Okay, that's our look at anger and the expat Christian worker. And yes, I mentioned earlier that Ron has written a brochure on this subject of anger, and actually most of our thoughts today are based on what Ron has written in that brochure.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.